With just 4 days to go before Australia votes, the leaders have fielded questions over religion and sexuality. The Prime Minister has been forced to clarify that he does not believe gay people will go to hell and has accused Bill Shorten of taking a cheap shot at his faith. I'm joined now by former Labor Minister Craig Emerson and former Liberal leader John Hewson. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks, Patricia.
John Hewson, I'll start with you. The campaign trail has been derailed today over questions over whether gay people will go to hell. Were you expecting this debate in the final week, and how do you think the Prime Minister's handled it?
Look, I don't think this is the sort of issue that should be a feature of the so-called election campaign debate at all. And to try and score points on either side on an issue like that doesn't make much sense. I mean, the fact is none of us know. Most of us believe it won't happen. Nobody's been on the other side apart from Kerry Packer to actually report back. So, I mean, I just think it's ridiculous to demean the process of the campaign by going into issues like that, which really make no difference to the point, to the way most people will vote.
What do you think, Craig Emerson? Because it was Bill Shorten who went there today after the Prime Minister, you know, didn't clarify his comments yesterday. What do you make of it?
Obviously, a journalist asked Scott Morrison, so I guess, you know, that's what triggers a discussion about any particular issue. The backdrop would be Israel Folau and his dispute with the Australian Rugby Union, because Israel Folau has said on social media that gay people and others will go to hell unless they repent. So that would be the context. Scott Morrison was asked a question about it and essentially deflected rather than say, oh, look, I don't think that's right. He went on to a bit of a tangent, and based on that, today, this morning, I think it was Bill Shorten said, well, why doesn't he just clarify his view on it? I thought that was fair enough. And then Scott Morrison said, well, no, I don't think they do go to hell. And there's a broader context. As we know, it was around the Wentworth by-election where there was to be a piece of legislation making sure that there could not be discrimination against gay people in respect of school enrolments, you know, kids being expelled and so on. So I suppose this debate has been going on for a little while. I personally would urge the separation of religion and state and to stay away from these. But I guess it started when a journalist asked a question to which they're entitled to do.
This week is, you know, the final week before Australians go and vote on Saturday, although many Australians seem to be exercising their right to pre-poll. So, you know, many probably have already voted. But we've been having this debate about housing policy. I'll start with you on this one, John Hewson, because there was the unveiling of this new housing policy by the Coalition at the campaign launch. It's now been revealed that Cabinet didn't consider it. Prime Minister says this is standard. Cabinet doesn't meet during an election campaign. But what do you think of the substantive policy? Is it a sort of olive branch to young people, and is it good policy?
No, well, there's a lot of considerations about this. I think it's pretty much been shooting from the hip, to be honest. I mean, he wanted to say something different and capture a headline out of that policy launch, campaign launch last weekend. I mean, when you've got record levels of household debt, it's odd that you want to encourage more debt, particularly when the banks are restricting the provision of debt. For the government to guarantee the gap between 5% and whatever the percentage the banks demand for the deposit, and I heard it was going more like 30% rather than 20%, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't think it'll make a lot of difference. It will, you know, there's all sorts of schemes that have been pursued in the past. Quite often the developers, those who are building the houses, find a way to charge more for the house and pick up the benefit of whatever the initiative is. So, look, I don't think it's good policy. I think it's pretty much policy on the run. I don't think it was thought through in the circumstances today. It's not going to do a lot for younger people trying to get into the housing market. They're still going to have the full level of the debt. They're still going to have trouble servicing that debt. And as the Royal Commission revealed, the banks lent a lot of people a lot more money than they could actually afford. So the banks have become much more cautious. So I don't think that they'd necessarily play ball with us either.
Craig Emerson, Labor very quickly adopted the policy. Literally, I was walking out of the campaign launch and boom, it was adopted. Was that just politics?
Oh, look, it is a very political issue in the sense that Scott Morrison made this the centrepiece of his campaign launch. And remember, this was done on Sunday, clearly trying to make sure that he got positive coverage on the Sunday night news, and then would be able to say, I care about first-home buyers and Labor doesn't. Labor wasn't going to have a bar of that and said, OK, well, we'll do it too. Only later, I don't know how much later, it was revealed that no more than 1 in 10 young people would have access to this on a first-come, first-served basis. I don't know, is it a stampede or how do you kind of get in there at the front of the queue? But the broader context, Patricia, is that Labor is saying, look, it's concerned about fairness between generations, you know, about these tax refunds for retirees who don't pay tax and so on. And I think Scott Morrison wanted to try to say, well, we're on the side of young people too. It's not just Labor. And so we've got this scheme. Labor wasn't going to be cornered on it because we'd then spend the rest of the week of Scott Morrison saying Labor doesn't care about young people because it opposes his U-Butte scheme, which, as it turns out, only applies to 10% of people anyway and probably wouldn't have a big effect.
So
there's one inconsistency, Craig, in the Labor position, because if you look through the costing, they are going to stop new entrants to the Super Saver scheme, which was supposed to help younger Australians accumulate funds for their deposit. But, you know, look, I think this has all been on the run and nobody's going to go into the detail.
And again, this is, you know, in response to Labor's negative gearing policy too, which says, why should investors who are buying their third, fourth, fifth home or property get an advantage, a tax advantage over first home buyers? And that's what they get with this negative gearing concession or tax shelter that Labor has said it would restrict. It would honour it for all existing owners and for new houses, but not for other properties into the future. And so, again, it's this sort of struggle between the two parties, Patricia and John, about, you know, who cares for future generations, the younger generation, who cares for the older generation? That's what gave birth to this idea of Scott Morrison to come up with this scheme.
So now we've obviously got an election on Saturday, and today there was an interesting intervention into that. Obviously, there are some key seats here. And there are essentially is a bit of a war of words between Paul Keating and Peter Dutton, with the former Prime Minister urging voters to drive a political stake through the Home Affairs Minister's dark political heart.
They're
PJK vintage
close.
Language there. but I'll go to you first, John. I mean, what do you make of that, Peter Dutton being the you know, the most negative politician, or however he described him, that he's seen in 50 years? Is that really fair?
Well, you know, these matters are for the individual judgment, I think. I noticed the television image of Paul making that statement, and he was reading it, so he'd planned carefully to say it and say it in the way that he said it. I mean, there are people like me who think that people like Dutton and Abbott and other insurgents should be purged from the Liberal Party for the damage that they did. But, you know, I'm not using Paul's language in saying that.
What do you think, Craig, quite quickly we saw a very interesting response from Peter Dutton, who said the reason he became political, the reason he got involved with the Liberal Party was Paul Keating, and that he nearly got his father out of his small business because of the economic conditions.
Oh, well, Peter Dutton was never going to say fair cop, so he was always going to come back at
point,
Paul.
Yeah.
And look, I think Paul Keating, you know, in the memory of those people who were around at the time, the Hawke Keating reforms, you know, he has standing. I know I've spoken to him personally, and he's raised Peter Dutton with me. And I really do think Paul believes he's a very hard-hearted guy. The job, I accept, that is, of, you know, ensuring that people don't drown at sea, you know, being tough on people smuggling. We all understand that, but Peter never smiles. He barely describes refugees as human beings, you know. It's sort of a favourite phrase, I don't know if he's conscious of it, these people, as if they're just, you know, horrible, horrible people for wanting a better life. Now, we don't want boats to resume. We don't want open borders, but we don't have to create this sense that they're horrible, nasty people. They're human beings just like us.
But doesn't it just show, John Hewson, that this campaign is getting really, really, really ugly? It's, I mean, we had the Prime Minister saying, you know, he's not running for Pope, he's running for PM today after the religious freedoms, gay issue. Mm. We've got these comments from Paul Keating about Peter Dutton. This week has just been so far, correct me if I'm wrong, John Hewson, but just mudslinging, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has been a bit of a race to the bottom as the campaign's gone on. I mean, I've been surprised at how uninspiring the whole campaign's been. I've been surprised that neither of the two leaders have been prepared to go into the detail of their policies if they don't have to. You know, they've avoided detail. They've stayed pretty much with their slogans and carefully crafted messages. I don't think people have learned very much from the campaign in that sense. It doesn't surprise me. Indeed, I predicted it before the election that the pre-polling vote would probably be at an historic high. It's already today announced as 1 in 6. I think it could end up being 1 in 4 by Saturday. 25% of people having made up their mind. In the past, we might have said that pre-polls tend to favour the incumbent. I think this time it might be the other way. I think people made up their mind quite some time ago and they voted. And that'll be reflected in the final outcome.
John Hewson, I have to ask you a specific question about your own intervention in this campaign, because you've described Green Senator Sarah Hanson-Young as a rare leader on climate change, and you've offered her an endorsement. Why did you offer her an endorsement? I mean, some of your colleagues, you know, essentially say, well, was he ever a Liberal? Like, you know, you're on the right side of politics. You've just endorsed a Green.
Yeah, it's not Liberal right or wrong. I don't think the Liberals were born to rule. I mean, I've always had the national interest as my priority rather than any personal interest. I think that as far as the climate change issue is concerned, and I think this is probably the most significant issue beyond the cost of living in this campaign, it's very much a referendum on that. I know that Sarah Hanson-Young had been very consistent in sort of trying to lead the debate for a decisive response to climate. And she stands out in that sense against a whole lot of laggards. And I guess some of the laggards are complaining that how dare Hewson say something like this. But, you know, and she's been treated pretty badly by the system as well. So I just thought that, you know, and the alternative in South Australia, I think, to her would be perhaps One Nation, which maybe the Liberal Party would rather see. But I just think that, you know, the issue is important. The stance of people is important. The electorate's looking for authenticity and honesty on these issues rather than all the point scoring and blame shifting we've had in the so-called climate wars over the last couple of decades. And so, you know, I think in that context, it seemed reasonable to say that she'd been doing a pretty good job in terms of climate.
It's a very different view, though, isn't it, from John Howard, who has said the Greens are the most dangerous or radical political party running in this election.
Well, I'm not endorsing green policy generally. I just think that from the point of view of the climate issue, we have to get serious. There is a climate emergency and neither side has been prepared to admit that. And they're giving mixed messages in climate. I mean, while they have varying responses to the climate challenge, neither of them will rule out Adani or, you know, new coal mines or, indeed, the Liberal Party, new coal-fired power stations. So this is, you know, I think the electorate is sick of it. And I think you'll find that the climate issue actually does define the outcome in quite a number of seats in this election campaign.
What's your view on that, Craig Emerson?
Exactly.
Climate change, is it a vote?
Absolutely. And I've been saying this to, you know, people who are directly involved in the campaign. I won't call it a sleeper issue because it's been around. There's a big policy out there from Labor. The truth is that the coalition can't move on it because of the civil war going on inside the coalition on this very issue. So Scott Morrison has to say, oh, well, we've got this direct action plan that great, you know, climate believer Tony Abbott put in place, you know, which was described at the time as a fig leaf. And I don't know, I suspect the Liberals understand that it is a big defining issue, but they can't move on it. They're paralysed. And I would speculate that in the last few days, you'll see a lot more about the differences, the philosophical differences between Labor and also the Greens, as John said, on the one hand, and the Coalition on the other on climate change. When they're still talking about governments, you know, subsidising new coal-fired power stations, I reckon south of, probably central Queensland, people would say, what the hell is going on?
So we only have a couple of days to go. Do you both still believe that Labor is on track for a victory? What do you think, John Hewson?
Yes, I think so. I mean, it's very hard to read, and I think the polls are a bit misleading. I mean, the news poll seems to me to have been, let's say, managed by changing the distribution of preferences to get the result of 49-51. I doubt it's actually that close. And if it were, I mean, Labor might only win 4 or 5 seats net. I think realistically they might win as many as 8 or 10 seats net, maybe even more. But the range is between sort of 4 and 10. And I think that, they are going to win this election. I'd be very surprised if they don't. They've just been consistent through this, through a large number of nearly 6 years now. And the Liberals and the Nationals have been a source of a lot of disruption and disunity through this period. And I think that's had a lasting impact. And then, of course, when they haven't governed, they haven't done anything directly about the key elements of the cost of living, whether it's housing affordability or power prices or extra school costs or childcare or whatever. The Labor Party has actually positioned itself in some of those areas as trying to put forward some solutions. I think, they've established an edge, which they've kept right through. I mean, people forget how many news polls have the Abbott-Turnbull Morrison government lost. It must be, what is it, Greg? Well over 70, isn't it? Maybe.
Yeah, it'd have to be because Malcolm talked about the 30 and then it went straight past that. So, it's a lot.
Well in the 70s, if not more. And that's a consistency in the polling, whether the margins are right. I mean, there's a consistency in that two-party preferred vote. And, I think that's just telling me that a lot of people made up their mind quite some time ago. I don't think you'll get necessarily the big swings you got in Victoria in the state election. It'd be more like a New South Wales election outcome. But in terms of not being a huge swing, but enough of a swing to give the Labor Party the net seats that it needs. I mean, they've got 72 notionally. The Liberal Party's got 73. They both need 4 or 5 seats really to govern in their own name. But I think Labor's on track to have a slightly bigger victory.
How about you, Craig? Do you see it that way? Because I've spoken to some of your Queensland colleagues, Labor Queensland colleagues, who tell me they're a bit nervous because of the Clive Palmer element, which they say is completely confusing.
Apparently in the polling, I've heard the same thing, Patricia. Like, you've got to make assumptions then about where those preferences go. And this is what News Poll did, by the way. And the assumptions that they made is that there's a strong, strong preference flow from Palmer to the Coalition. But back in 2013, when he ran candidates widely and recommended preferences to the Coalition, the preference flow was only 53%, barely 50-50. Barely above 50-50, I mean. I think that what John's saying is right. My sense is that people had formed a view before the election campaign. I'm sure that they'll be reminded of that view in the last few days about disunity and climate change, maybe even cost of living. And it's likely that they'll go, yeah, that's what I thought. It's sort of more confirmatory than here's my new view. I've only just started talking about on that basis, and on the basis that the markets, this is not just one betting agency, but several, have got Labor at very, very short odds. You'd have to say Labor is likely to win.
Yeah, I think the key factor there is where the preferences go. I don't think preferences will be directed. I mean, I've never been a supporter of these deals with One Nation or Palmer. I mean, for every 1,000 votes that Palmer takes, you get about 500 back. I mean, it doesn't seem to me to be sensible to have those sort of deals. And I don't think those preferences will be directed. I do think preferences will, in some seats, determine the outcome, but not necessarily as people expect. As happened, in the Queensland state election, where I think One Nation preferences in the end elected a couple of Labor members. So, you know, I just think that that's the unknown, is how the preference distribution will go. But I suspect that the bottom line is that Labor will get enough seats to govern in their own right.
Just as you saw, Patricia, a big surge in pre-poll voting, John has talked about this before. The proportion of people who just walk straight past all of the party supporters with their how-to-vote cards and go, no, and they walk in. So what's the how-to-vote card? How's that relevant to them? It is not. It is completely irrelevant to them. So they either know what they're going to do in terms of number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or they don't care. And they'll vote for a minor party and then just number every other square, and just they probably know that that's a vote for one of the major parties, and a lot of them don't care because they just say, I've lodged my protest vote, and that's that. So they won't say, oh, Clive told me to give my preference, second or third preference or whatever, to the Liberals. I really don't think there'll be a strong preference. So there will be with the Greens, because anyone who votes Green, whether they pick up a how-to-vote card or not, will not accidentally vote coalition in this climate change election. They'll say, OK, I'm a Green, I'm not a big fan of Labor, but they're better than the coalition. And you'll get a strong preference flow from the Greens to Labor, as has happened in the last few elections, where it's been between 80 and 85%.
I want to thank you both. You know I love talking to you both. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Patricia.
Really enjoyed it. Thanks, Patricia.
And that's former Labor Trade Minister Craig Emerson and former Liberal leader John Hewson. And this is RN Drive.